Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I guess when you see the bulletin this week, you think that I'm going to be talking about money when I put Wealth 101. And I am, but maybe in a different way than you may have thought. You see, there was a book written about 20 years ago by a couple of good friends of mine, John Roger and Peter McWilliams, called Wealth 101. And what I liked about that particular work was the definition of wealth as being things that are so much more than money. There are ways of being wealthy in health, in love, in patience, forbearance, kindness. These things that we're not taught to look at because we measure so much wealth by money, by the acquisition of material things. But I think we've all known people who have a wealth of spirit in other ways and may not have a whole lot of money. And we've known people that are very wealthy, I'm sure, and heard of that, and they have a very constricted and limited poverty consciousness about how they interact in their world. I'd like to remind you today that you're wealthy already in ways that you may not know. You see, money is a spiritual idea, really. It's energy. And the paper that is printed on is simply the outpicturing of what we have decided is going to be worth something in our consciousness. But for example, the patience of a teacher with a child to learn something and the time expended there is a form of wealth of spirit that doesn't necessarily have a dollar sign attached to it. What I'm saying is, I'd like to all of us expand our ideas of what it means to be wealthy. Certainly it includes money. Certainly it is not God's will that we crawl through life begging and in poverty. But in order to get to those places that we'd like to get to in consciousness, I think we have to forget some ideas we've been taught about wealth and money. You see, I don't believe that wealth and money are synonymous, but I do believe that wealth includes money. Now, I'm not doing any type of preacher doublespeak here. Please hear what I mean. The consciousness that is abundant, that says this world is for me, I accept it, I love people, I love my work, I love what I do, I love being a grandfather, grandmother, mother, father, any of these things which bring that spirit up inside of us is incipient wealth. It is something that's sometimes not recognized because we place such a premium on money that we don't realize that there's a great deal of wealth right in us, right in other people that we may not even recognize. So I say, first of all, as the authors did of this book 20 years ago, wealth is so much more than money. But at the time that they were interviewed on Larry King's show, Larry King pointed out the fact that they had a gold Krugerrand on the cover and that there was a hand being extended from the heavens to somebody on earth, and it had some type of expensive precious stone in it. So Larry King said, this really is about money. And they countered and said, no, money is a byproduct of a certain consciousness. And I agree with that entirely. We know people who have set their entire intentions in their lives on making money. That has become the biggest thing that they can think of to do. That is what they dedicate their lives to, believing that if there's enough material security in their lives, they will feel secure in the ways that you can't always see. And we know that that's not true. But those who have a wealth of kindness of spirit or a wealth of service of spirit, these types of things that are intangible, we know that they probably and do live more peaceful, happy existences than those who are constantly measuring, counting, and dividing. So if we walk forward with a new idea about money today, then I feel like I've done my work in one way, But if we walk forward with the idea of a wealth consciousness, I'll really feel like we've gotten it. Because I don't want to spend so much time on the dollars and cents that we forget the wealth that is ours and comes from us and is in us and is sometimes not even recognized us because we're too busy worrying about the pennies and the dollars. I would like to say to you today that when you have an expansive consciousness, when you see abundance in your mind, when you claim those things that you want, you automatically set up a mental atmosphere that will draw those things to you. In other words, if you say, I release the thoughts of lack and limitation and loss, then if you really do that, you've created a space in your consciousness for the new to come in. And we know that nature abhors a vacuum. The mind, having released some thoughts, others will come in right away if you don't choose them. So I'm saying also be intentional of your choice of seeking abundance or wanting to manifest abundance in your mind. If you don't know what it is you want right away, I would treat for, as the old metaphysicians say, abundance. And then as you go forward and think of this and meditate on it and have intention about it, you may find that it comes to you what it is you want to express or want more of. Our church has an expansiveness of love. That is immediately evident when people come through the door. That is an intangible that I love about this church. There are other churches that are very wealthy in material ways, and also the people can be very arid, very dry, and very dogmatic. So I think we could agree that those that show wealth in a warm, loving way are truly the wealthy ones. And those that may have a whole lot of money but treat people as arid and dry and in dogmatic ways are really sort of having poverty in their spirit. So what do we do to wed this dichotomy? How do we bridge this gap inside our own consciousness? And this is what I want to speak to you about today. True wealth, as I see it, is open to infinite possibilities. Your mind is a receiving mechanism. It is a portal for the divine to come through and inspire you or work through you. Your mind is the only means of communication from the divine. And the fact that you can choose your own thoughts and think your own ways connotes a very, very close relationship with the divine. You know, God gave us the ability to choose. God gave us the ability to think. And God laid down certain rules for our good that have to do with prosperity, health, abundance, riches, life, life more abundant. Our master teacher, Jesus, said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. He also said, it is not me that doeth the works, but the Father in me. And you see, he claimed nothing for himself that he didn't claim for each one of us. So if the Father does the works inside of us, then that means all we have to do is align ourselves with that expansion of spirit to manifest what we want to see in our lives. Does that mean that you meditate for $1 million every day on that and you'll get it? Well, it could be, but a lot of times it's not that way. Because there are other things that we have to deal with in life, things that sometimes cross our paths that are also for our learning experience as we and continue to expand our consciousness. I think one of the greatest things that we can do is to keep an expansive mindset when the daily slings and arrows of outrageous fortune cross our paths. It would be very easy to maintain a wealth and abundance consciousness if there were no challenges. But it is my belief that this life is a classroom, and we come here to learn certain things, and that what we call problems are truly opportunities. And sometimes I know you, and I do, wish I don't have so many opportunities. But it is said that problems are a sign of life. And I'm reminded of what Dr. Norman Vincent Peale said to a fellow that was walking with him, the fellow said, I want to go to a place where there's absolutely no problems. I've had it and I'm sick of problems. And Dr. Peel was thinking of where this place could be, and all of a sudden it hit him. They were walking on the street in New York, and the man said, if you just tell me where I get no problems, I'm off and gone there. And Dr. Peel pointed to the west, and there was what's called the Monarch Cemetery. And he said, everybody in there has no problems. And he said, so problems you're going to see are a sign of life. And so far from running from them, we can take them and use them for our highest good. And I'm not saying it's not a challenge. And I'm not saying that it's easy. What I'm saying is it's worth it. Because at the end of the day, I would much rather count the things that I had been able to overcome in my consciousness, the challenges, the limitations, the lack that I have had in my consciousness, than I would count my money. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and say I don't want to count money too. But I believe that's a byproduct of having an abundant mindset, a mindset that is open and receptive to the divine inspiration that comes to all of us and is only blocked by the thoughts we choose to think. We can limit God, you know. We have the way to do that. As I've said, and I got this from Eric Butterworth, wonderful Unity teacher, the divine inflow comes through all of us. It's like a garden hose with water and coming through it. And he said, you know, we can step on that garden hose and we can kink it and stop the flow of water. Well, we can also do that with our thoughts. We can divert or subvert the thoughts that God gives us according to the personality that we've created to deal with life. That's why I believe meditation is so key and important. Meditation, visualization, contemplation, whatever you want to call it, a place where you go daily, preferably, but at some point to release those things that you know stand in your way. And how do you know that they stand in your way? Because those areas in your life are the things that are calling out to you for more or for healing or for love. You know them, I know them, we all have them. You see, I'm going to get a little tricky here, but stay with me. Dr. Ernest Holmes in 1926 wrote the Science of Mind textbook. And the first textbook that he wrote was only about an inch thick. It was later edited by Maud Allison Latham with him, and it became the magnum opus of Science of Mind. But the very beginning, in 1926, very thin. And in this book, he talked about something called divine libido. And when we think about libido, we think about the Freudian terms of sex. And that's one definition of libido. But Dr. Holmes thought it to be the divine urge seeking reproduction over and over again in our lives. The divine that's coming through us seeking expression and giving us pleasure in that expression. Sexuality is one way. Kindness is another. Giving is another. Teaching, patience. These things are all forms of the energy that comes through us, and we release that in what I call the most productive ways. Divine libido says, go out and live another day. Reproduce what you've done before. In other words, one great meal wasn't enough. One great experience wasn't enough. We are creating people. We want to replicate those things that we think gave us pleasure or gave us pleasure or help us to live an expansive life. What I'm saying is, regardless of what you call it, libido, urge, it is the inflow of the divine seeking expression outwards. And then what happens is we can frustrate that because we don't know how to handle it, because we see it through the lens of our past. We anesthetize it, we drug it, we alcoholize it, we spend ourselves into debt, or we think something out here is going to fix in here. And you see, that may work for a minute, but we always get tired of our toys. But I've never heard anybody say that they got tired of their new way of life, the new way they thought, and the new way that those thoughts produced a brand new life. You see, it really is an inside job. So let me return back to wealth and get off this libido thing real quick, lest you think I stay there too long. But I do want you to know and remember, this world works in a reproductive way. We have a spring, summer, winter, fall. We have certain things that happen in nature. There's constantly a prolific breeding, everything from insects to animals to us. It is the urge of creation. And it is oh so important for us to be able to handle that and handle it responsibly. So how do we do that? We clear our minds. We let go of those things that are less than for our highest good. And how do we know it? Because it's not working. Whatever it is, no matter how we may defend it or say we have a right to feel it or anybody else would feel it, we have to be willing to let that go. And letting it go can be an instantaneous process for some people, and for others, it takes quite a long time. I remember hearing a story of a Super Bowl player, and I'm a football fan, and I've always been enamored of those big rings they get when they play in a Super Bowl. Matter of fact, I grew up wanting to do that and have one. I just didn't have the talent to do it and earn it on my own with a team. I'd have to buy one. But at any rate, Andre Rison was a team member of the Atlanta Falcons who took his Super Bowl ring off one day and threw it into the Flint River and walked away from it and said, "That wealth is not worth it to me." What he was saying was, what I was expected to be after I earned that, what people wanted from me after they see that, is not something that I want anymore to have. He associated that wealth, what many team members would give anything to be able to have or to earn, and threw it right in the river, representative of the fact that he didn't want that life anymore. And today, that very NFL player works in soup kitchens and is the homeless in Atlanta. That is his wealth. What I'm saying to you is there's something inside you seeking expression. This divine libido calls to you all the time. And it is your wealth. It is what you have to give. It's properly yours and only yours. It may look like volunteering in a homeless kitchen. It may look like working for the cause of animals, animal rights, political causes, organizational causes. It may look like a new relationship. It may look like something very material. You may want a new car, a new home. Nothing wrong with that, so long as you realize that your abundance, your very abundance, starts right here. If it comes to you from the outside, remember, that's serendipitous. But it also can take wings and fly, as Florence Scovel Shinn said, because the consciousness of the person who receives like that is not necessarily ready and attuned for it. And when it's not, those riches or those blessings tend to dissipate. So when we prepare for and we plow our mental mind and turn up the soil of our mental garden, rather, and we plant seeds of what we want, we can expect that because that's the law, according not only to Christ Jesus, but to nature. What we plant, we get. So if we plant thoughts of loving kindness and forgiveness, we get those multiplied back. Have you noticed that when you throw seeds down, it's not just one seed that sprouts, you get an abundance. Some do and some don't, but you always get more then you put down. That's the law of the universe. You give, you receive, and many times you receive in abundance. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken, running over, shall God give unto you." And then there's another little verse to that, "and will rebuke the devourer for your sake," which is Malachi's way, I believe, of saying that he will also take care of the things in your consciousness that you release. His presence comes in and gives you literally a new lease on life. Every idea, in the Bible is metaphysical. I interpret it that way. I know you do. Many people do. Money is simply a symbol. The things that count and the things that we properly want more of represent a certain feeling. And I will go back to this about wealth that I've said before. Feeling is the secret, as Neville said. What you feel, what you really comes out of you inside, is what you really want to have manifest. In other words, we've heard people who say, I want peace, I want love between brothers and sisters, and I want the end to conflict. And yet, they'll go right out and start fights and be very definitive in their way of saying, mine is the only way, and if you don't agree with me, you're going someplace else. You see, you can't say something and then cross it out a few minutes later. You have to be the change you want. You have to live into the things that you want to have happen. Anybody can say something all day long, and it's fine to affirm as long as the inner you lines up with it. So if your consciousness is clear, if you have let go of those, what I call poverty emotions of fear, of unkindness, of unforgiveness. We all know what they are. The releasing of those. You already are wealthy. You're wealthy in spirit, and you're ready to receive more. It's ready to be abundant for you. It can only go up when you're like that. When you're constricted, you can only get more constricted. You can get so fearful and so anxiety-ridden and so brittle that you break. But when you're expanding, and when you're open to the good that God has for you, Catherine Ponder says, opening your heart to receive the wonderful, magical riches of the kingdom, abundance, it can only be good. It can only good things can come from that. And I challenge each one of you today to have a different idea about money. One idea about money can change your life. Instead of looking at it as something that is a little fearful, hard to get. I know I've struggled with this. Look at it as something that comes to you as a byproduct of your thinking and doing the things that you love to do. It was said a long time ago, if you do what you love, the money will follow. I've heard it also said, find what you love to do, and you don't worry about the money so much, it'll come. But I say be a little more intentional. I believe that we set an intention not for a specific amount of money, but for an abundant mindset that includes money. It also includes health and happiness and kindness and these things that we know are fruits of the Spirit. That's why in the Bible it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It didn't say just money. It said all these riches. So you see, it starts here. It always starts here. As within, so without. And I believe that any spiritual teacher will always teach someone to go inside. If they're any good, go inside first and realize that you manifest what you think about. You do become what you think about. So realize that your wealth can be expressed in many different ways. But if you're open and you're receptive and you're a clear channel and you've intended to make a difference for yourself and the world, it will happen. I invite each one of you today to let go of any limiting and lack thoughts, anything that hold you back so that your divine light can shine. If we know it's God's good pleasure to give us a new life, according to our thoughts is done unto us, then all we have to do is get out of the way with our habitual thinking and be willing to think the thoughts the Spirit has for us. And what are they? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, harmony, health, abundance, these wonderful words we've used in New Thought for so long. I ask that we live them. They were lived many years ago by people who came before us and prove prosperity in their own lives. We're called on to do it now. We have, so far as I'm concerned, a torch to carry and a life to live. We're blessed to be a blessing. I enjoin you and encourage you to realize this week and from now on that wealth is far more than money. It is an abundant and loving and kind state of mind. And when you open to that, the money may or it may not come, but you're going to stand a better chance of having it. If not, if you say this or something better in that consciousness, then if the money doesn't come, you'll be given something of equal value, because that is the law of sowing and reaping. We may not always get exactly what we want, but we get what Spirit believes is best for us, so long as our intention and our minds are open to that. I invite you to be open to this great adventure called life and be happy for the fact that our affirmations and our prayers don't always turn out exactly as we want them. Because I know that if I'd gotten everything I'd prayed for, I'd be a very unhappy man. So I am open to Spirit and its many different ways to produce the wealth that I have in my life, and I'm open to receiving more. I challenge each one of you to do that. I know your hearts. I know they're full of expansion, and I want you to embrace that, the idea that wealth is more than money, but encompasses it. And then we walk out and we live a new life, and guess what? We're part of the change in the world we wish to see. I give you blessings this week and for a wonderful new life. Thank you, and so it is.